brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Shiro!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome everybody.
Welcome
to another
exciting,
amazing,
electrifying,
cool,
intensifying,
cold,
Parma.
oh my gosh. Installment of the V.
The
best footballing show in the whole of Active FM.
Let's go.
And we are here today, right, to just discuss and basically do like a weekend roundup.
Yeah, you know.
Because, I mean, we are seeing lots and lots of things coming to shape. I think now, more than ever, we are starting to see, you know, exactly where things are going.
Hey, football right now is looking very crazy. Obviously, we're going to get into the details as we progress with the show. But we've seen a lot of amazing stuff that we are going to unpack on this show.
Yes, yes, yes. And just to start off, too. So, to start off, for other leagues, right? Because, you know, we do know that there is only one league that we really want to talk about. We'll get to a bit later in the show. Yes, a bit later. But if you didn't know, so there's some leagues, right, that have wrapped up. So if you know anything about the Brazilian division, there was lots and lots of posts about like Santos being in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
And then Neymar had to come out, even though being injured, he had to basically ignore doctor's orders and play with like something that was wrong in his knee. He decided, you know what, I'm going to put my life on the line. I'm going to put safety on the line to play and actually do this for my team. And actually, Santos ended up not being relegated.
Oh.
Because of a goal that Neymar scored.
Let's go.
And them winning 1-0. So literally there, you know, it was, you know, it's sad to see obviously the level that we are at now in terms of Neymar. So the drop, but seeing moments like that, I mean, it does make a person's heart, you know, more full.
Yeah, you know, those are very heart-filled moments. Mm. I mean, Prime Neymar would have scored 3 goals by himself, 4 maybe.
Ah, definitely. definitely.
But yeah, this is where we're at now. And yeah, as we always mention on the show, you know, our hearts are very heavy,
yes,
for Neymar. However, that is a moment that is very joyful to witness.
Yes, yes, yes. And obviously, also the Brazilian League final happened this past weekend with Flamengo going up against Palmeiras. And Flamengo ultimately getting a 1-0 victory.
Let's go. Getting Palmeiras. The job done.
Literally, it was crazy. If you saw any footage of the stadiums, you know the Brazilians come out.
Yeah.
So literally, there were people crying there on the floor. People lost. Others were crying. They won. You know, and Danilo, who was actually the captain, he's a former Manchester City player as well. I used to play for us. Before us, he was at Madrid. He's the first player to win 2 Copa Libertadores. Yes!
Yeah.
Copa Libertadores and also 2 Champions Leagues in his professional career. So winning the Copa with Flamengo in 2025, winning the Champions Leagues with Real Madrid in 2016 and 17, and
yeah,
then winning his first Copa back in 2011. So he's also at the end of his career, he's doing the most.
Hmm.
He's doing the most.
Yeah.
And you know who else is doing the most?
Who else is doing the most?
Lionel Messi.
Come on.
With Inter Miami as he wins his 47th career trophy as Eastern Conference champions become Inter Miami.
I saw a post earlier before we recorded the show. It showed Rodrigo de Paul for 6 seasons at Atletico. You know, it didn't say 6 seasons. It says how many was it? 6 seasons. Not 6 seasons. It was 14. About 14 seasons trophyless. 12 or 14 seasons trophyless. And then he comes to Inter Miami in his first season, wins a trophy.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, a part of me was a little bit petty. I was like, but, you know, he's playing at Inter Miami.
MLS.
But,
no, you know.
A trophy is a trophy regardless.
And obviously seeing, you know, yes, he's Messi, you know, but we still need to acknowledge and admire the difference that he's made in this team. Obviously, there were other players as well that were signed, the likes of Luis Suarez and Jordi Alba. So it wasn't just Messi. But I mean, the difference from before he came, this team was basically last in the league.
Yeah.
And now they've won their second title. And now they're going to be trying to win the cup versus the winners of the East, of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
But just seeing the difference is done. It's amazing to see. And looking at his performances this season, maybe he has one more, you know, World Cup to win.
Maybe.
And with that, he also becomes the player with the most assists in footballing history.
Yeah.
So in that match, he got two assists, putting him over Ferenc Puskas.
Ooh.
Now having 405 assists in total. Don't worry, there's no other player that they're going to bring up from the 1920s that's going to be above him, because I feel like they always do that.
Bro, it's like that one time when Ronaldo broke the scoring record and then they brought up Pelé.
You can't break these things. In fact, there's one
that I'm... Because of that, I could be wrong, but I think that's what inspired Ronaldo to go for 1,000 goals. Because he didn't want anyone ever to be able to break that record.
But even that one, I promise you, they're going to probably like whip out, you know. Because even with Pele, I think back when I was in grade 5, in our TBE test books, we learned about Pele.
Yeah.
And then they said, like, unofficially, he scored like 1,300 goals.
Bro, that is crazy.
But not every goal was counted. So he only stopped at, like, what, 900 or 800, somewhere there. But they always bring in a guy from out there.
Yeah.
And speaking of similar records, so just to quickly, you know, before we get into the real stuff. So Erling Haaland yesterday, if you know, he also broke a record.
Yeah.
For being the fastest player in the Premier League to score, to get to a hundred goals. So before him was Alan Shearer, who did it in I think 121 or 124, but then Haaland did it in 111 games. Yes.
Just when you thought you could stop this man.
However, he is not the fastest player to get to 100 in terms of the Premier, in terms of the English division.
Yeah.
So, you know, Premier League is only from 92, you know, going up.
Yeah.
There is a man that used to play in the 19th century. I forgot his name. But he reached 100 goals in 89 games.
No.
And they mentioned him yesterday.
No.
And I was like, damn, they can't keep doing this, man. You know? but that's just similar to what's happening these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are two leagues that are wrapped up already, Brazil and USA. And those are the champions. So I thought, you know, let's start with some other football. Because we do care about the other football. You know,
we do.
Definitely not biased towards like only like Premier League.
And you know, speaking about, you know, other football, let's take it to Spain.
Okay.
I saw news now, obviously it could just be speculation. However, there was an article that I read. I just have to maybe go back to my history to find it. But there's an article that I read that says, unfortunately, potentially, Marcus Rashford will be out of contract with Barcelona by the end of the season.
No!
I know, it's very saddening. Can't find the article. There are rumors that Barcelona is planning life without him.
Damn.
And potential replacement. Even, obviously, after seeing the hard work that he's put in now. Don't take my word for it, but this is what I saw from the article where it spoke about the fact that Barcelona is moving on from Marcus Rashford, potentially starting and planning new life without Marcus Rashford. So he might be out of contract at the end of the season, going back to Manchester United, and then probably looking for other clubs onwards from there. So I'm hoping that's not the case. However, the decision still lies between the club and the player. And in these cases, the player doesn't have much say whether they stay or not. So,
yeah. Definitely. I think There's always a thing of, you know, with a fit and on form Rafinha and a fit and on form Lamine Yamal, does Rashford really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get to play in that team. And we, I think no one saw, no one could basically predict the amount of fight that Rashford did put in.
Yeah.
Because now it's a thing of, damn, I mean, I wouldn't mind having Rashford play instead of, you know, Rafinha, for instance, when he's, you know. But when the two are at their peak, you know what I'm saying, it then becomes like a bit difficult because obviously they were playing in the system a lot last season.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of results that they also...
Yeah.
Got through.
No, true. There is obviously team chemistry to be considered.
Yeah.
Especially because of what you mentioned, the fact that they play together in a specific system.
Yeah.
In the previous season. For me, my personal opinion was maybe they're going to make accommodation for Rashford specifically because they're trying to get a new striker.
Mm.
However, I also don't know if Rashford will do too well in a number 9 position. I'm not saying he can't.
They can use
but him. His favorable position is on the wing.
Yeah. No. I think it's something that they can get around. And obviously with things like this, we also don't know fully what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because one thing I
can that is also true.
Is that Barcelona and like decision making these days, bro, like, it's very sketchy.
That's actually crazy that you mentioned that because I actually read something about that in my article. But anyway, yeah. That was just a side piece of news.
hopefully, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully something can happen. He can have a proper discussion with maybe Emery. And then, you know...
Maybe Bayern's going to try and pick him up.
If Bayern picks him up, we're in trouble, bro. Oh, no, no.
But
no.
Again, Luis Diaz is playing in the position that Rashford would normally play.
Vincent Kompany is a genius, bro. He can,
yeah.
He can make a plan. Plus, Harry Kane is one of those strikers who are willing to drop back and things like that. But then still kill you as well. So I personally wouldn't want him to go to Bayern.
Yeah.
You know, there are better teams, and by better I mean that they are worse teams that he can join. You know what I mean? Chelsea is there, Rashford.
No,
if
no.
You're interested.
No,
be no. Like your boy Sancho.
That will be like, you know, there's a lot of things that have gone on over the years.
Yeah,
and there's been ups and downs with United fans and Rashford. However, that will be the ultimate betrayal, I personally feel.
Yeah. But just to wrap up and then also get to the main point of basically today's discussion, right? So, Barca yesterday beating Atletico Madrid 3-1, coming from behind. And furthermore, cementing their place at the top of La Liga, being first and leading the pack, with Real Madrid being halted by a 1-1 draw to Girona. Barcelona looking like, you know what I'm saying, they are basically taking that number one place.
And yeah,
they plan to not budge at all.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's crazy stuff. And then stepping into the League of Leagues, stepping into the Premier League, Manchester City yesterday winning 5-4.
Crazy
game. So I leave right after the beginning of the second half. The score is 4-1. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm done now. Let me just finish some work. And then full time, I'm hearing, "Yo, bro, your game was crazy, bro. Yo, 5-4. Did you see?" I'm like,
"What?
5-4? What do you mean 5-4? And literally, Fulham fought until the very end, bro. Like, it's crazy to see. And we just edged out. We just edged the win. Chukwueze coming on in the second half and just going beast mode. Literally, City was leading 5-1. And
yeah.
From there, Alexi will be getting a goal. Chukwueze getting 2 goals in the space of 5 minutes.
Eish.
Literally, it's crazy stuff. And it's concerning for me, bro. Because my captain, Luis Diaz, is fully fit.
Yeah.
John Stones is fully fit. So there's no excuse. So this
you
is
meant Ruben Diaz.
Bad defending. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like straight up bad defending. So it's crazy stuff there. And then Arsenal this past weekend, also having a draw with Chelsea. Very, very good to see. Very, very good to see for a person.
You know what? Of all things that would have happened, I didn't think Chelsea and Arsenal were going to draw. If you ask me, I was going to say that Arsenal was going to beat Chelsea. But again, my hate watch is not really working.
Yeah, we hate watching.
Maybe, you know, Chelsea versus Sunderland. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
I was really hoping for a Chelsea win there, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know that Chelsea won't be consistent enough to keep it going. They're not going to be as consistent as Arsenal. But Mikel Arteta saying that...
Look, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Chelsea have nothing to lose. Right now, in the Premier League, obviously, Premier League, they're not in Champions League, but I think they're playing in the...
in Europa.
Europa League.
Yes.
What else? Obviously, there's the English Domestic Cup, so FA Cup. I don't know if they're still in the FA Cup and... what you call it? Carabao? Is Carabao and FA the same thing?
No.
You have the FA Cup, you have the Carabao Cup. Sorry, my brain has gone a bit puzzled here. So they have a lot of things to play for. I don't think Chelsea and I don't think Enzo Maresca necessarily want to play for, you know, domestic
Chelsea cups. Chelsea is in the Champions League.
They are in the Champions League. Yeah, okay, I take my words back.
Barca 3-0 last week.
I take my words back. So Chelsea are in the Champions League. If anything, they'll be fighting for Premier League or Champions League. Maybe both, but they're going to have to pick one. Like, if you look at Arsenal, where they are at now, they are on form, but they have to pick one. Either they're winning the league or they're winning the Champions League. Which one is bigger?
You can't really do both.
On a global scale, obviously, Champions League. However, them winning the Premier League, I think, will do them a lot more good
than the Champions League.
Than the Champions League.
That's the one
where
they
are.
That's at the one
now. Because no matter what they do, even if they won a Champions League, right, which would be massive. They still don't have the league.
No.
And it's going to be a running joke in England. That's just facts.
Definitely. They need the league to be able to cement their place as the best English team today.
Yeah.
Today. And literally, you know, it gets tougher every season. But as we've been saying this past season, that this season is basically the toughest season that we've seen. We even see with a team like Liverpool was celebrating because they won against West Ham. Literally, they got a goal in mid-second half.
Yeah.
Alexander Isak bagging his first goal for the team. And then due to a stupid error by Lucas Paqueta and him getting himself sent off, Liverpool was able to get the second goal by Cody Gakpo. But they just edged out a victory against West Ham.
Look, I was happy seeing Liverpool suffer.
Yeah, me too.
Best days of my life. I know it sounds evil, but I was just happy seeing Liverpool suffer.
Best days of my life.
But you know.
And then going on to the fixture that I thought would definitely end in an otherwise manner. So there's me Saturday watching the Premier League match build up, and the upcoming game was Crystal Palace versus Manchester United.
Ooh.
And literally I was watching all of these pundits discussing how Manchester United would definitely lose.
Yeah.
They're even like saying pointers of like the worst team to face for Manchester United is Crystal Palace, because Crystal Palace plays the way that Manchester United wants to play. And currently they are the best team in the Premier League at playing in that way.
Yeah.
And then Manchester United decides to go on and defy the odds and win.
Look. 2-1. Yeah, I watched that match. That wasn't one of the matches that got my emotions high. However, I was still very frustrated in that game.
Frustrated.
But in the beginning, you look at how everything transpired. Obviously, we went down to Crystal Palace before we could actually, get the victory.
Yes.
So it was quite interesting, because you look at the match they were playing. It was intense. I think Man United had more possession in the beginning, playing passes around. Crystal Palace was defending quite well, and an opportunity came for them. Yoro makes a stupid tackle in the box. The player has already left you. The most you can do is try to, like, you know, shield him off, but to, you know, clip a player's boots. It's a definite penalty. Yeah. Mateta takes the penalty, gets recalled to take a second one because of a double shot.
Damn.
And he still scores again. For me, I didn't see the necessity to make him take the penalty again, because he was definitely going to put that away.
Yeah.
But then they fought. Joshua Zirkzee pulled it out of himself somehow to get a goal. It was a really good goal. And if you look at the angle, it was a tight angle.
Yeah.
He beats the keeper, beats the defenders. And then the second goal, I just hit a blank for a second. I'm trying to remember where the second goal came from. How did I forget this? But basically, all of the people that scored were like the underdogs. It's like the people that you didn't expect to score. Yes, Mason Mount scored the second goal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really good to see the team come back. Because I remember in the previous weeks when we discussed Man United, one thing that I complained about to DJ Sticks is the fact that you look at Man United, although there are improvements, we're still coming from behind. But the fact that we came from behind and got a win is a positive, and I'm not going to take that positive away from the team.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a good victory for you guys.
Yeah.
Especially because you beat a team that plays the way that you guys want to play.
No, Crystal Palace plays really well.
Ah, crazy stuff. So, yeah. It's exciting to see what's happening in the league. PSG also lost to Monaco, if you guys don't know. So it's actually a fun time. It's a fun time to be alive, and it's a fun time to be a coach. Because you get humbled very quickly.
Too quickly.
Very quickly. But we'll be keeping a close eye on every single fixture, updating you on the biggest footballing news.
Yeah.
Because we are the V.
A.
R.
Show.
And we are signing out.
Peace.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.